If you'll raise your hand, we'll try to distribute the few that we have. Just a way to help organize the seven sayings from the cross. An interesting completion of Scripture. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 69. Psalm 69 and verse 21. Psalm 69, verse 21. They gave me also gall for my food, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Now, may I just remind you that this was penned by David, pointing to Christ hundreds of years before he ever went to the cross. And so this is why Christ on the cross says this, knowing all things were now accomplished, said, I thirst. He's right on schedule, isn't he? You see, Satan thinks, I have my chance right now to wipe him out. And all Satan could do was have the very script that God had written, have it carried out to the letter. I'll tell you, we had a thrill in it. Because here's what I'm convinced of. Everything that Christ suffered, we will never have to suffer. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 16. And then we want to mention a few of those things. And then we want to look at a few applications that I trust will encourage our hearts today. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 16. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Notice that. When Christ died, he paid our debt, didn't he? And he endured the darkness. And so in heaven, there's no night. You want to know why? Well, Christ endured that for us. You see, that was the separation from God. Next, it says this, that he would never leave us or forsake us. You realize that in heaven, we'll never be forsaken by God. We'll be continually with him. But Christ knew what it was to be forsaken, didn't he? So darkness he endured, we never will be in darkness again. Forsaking, separated from God, we'll never be separated from God again. It comes to pain. There's no pain, is there? No pain in heaven. Want to know why? Christ endured all the pain. Now we know pain on this earth, don't we? We know plenty of it. But in heaven, no pain. God's judgment. Isn't it wonderful to know that he'll never discover a sin that we've done a million years into eternity? Say, Linstead, just a minute. I just happened to think of a sin you did. Oh boy, isn't that going to be good? Why? God's judgment. It fell on Christ. Every sin that I have ever committed, every sin that anyone ever committed, he paid the debt right there. God's judgment will be done. And our thirst will be done. Isn't it marvelous? Everything he went through, we never have to go through. And so, on the cross, while we see the greatness of his suffering, I'll tell you, we can thrill in what it is. I think he thirsted because he was placed in the sinner's stead. I think because he was in my stead, that's why he thirsted. Thirst is a craving of the mind for something which it doesn't have. You know, if you're hungry, and after several days of being hungry, you actually can get by with less food. Now, I know this from people telling me this. I've never experienced it. Yeah, you can tell by my body. I've not tried this theory out. Okay? I have two teenage boys, and we just had a Russian boy that moved back to Russia. You have never seen a kid eat until you've seen this Russian kid. He was starved for the first 18 years of his life. And his favorite thing were Big Macs. Two Big Macs, two fries, two Cokes. And 20 minutes later, he was ready for a snack, as he said. And I mean, this kid could eat. I promise you, there's not enough food in all of Russia to feed him. Because, he could eat in a tremendous way. But if they take away food from you, after a while your body gets along with less food. But you know what? If you're thirsty, it doesn't work that way. There's a craving. There's a craving. And you can say, I'm not hungry. And pretty soon you'll convince yourself you're not hungry. People have lived 30 days, 40 days, and longer with no food. But you can't do that with something to drink. It's the craving of the mind. He endured that for us. If Christ had not thirsted, every one of us would have thirsted forever. But he thirsted on the cross so that we would never have to thirst. The treatment of the Lord, can you imagine giving him vinegar? What a cruel thing to do. At time, we look at some of the aspects of it. Let's just think of some of the things that might encourage us. Remember, Christ was the smitten rock, wasn't he? And can you imagine Moses having 2 million plus Jews in the wilderness? Now, to appreciate the wilderness, drive with me sometime from Jerusalem down to Egypt, and we'll go through a portion of that wilderness. And literally, you'll go for miles, and you'll see nothing but sand, nothing but sand. And can you imagine having 2 million Jews in the wilderness, and here's Moses walking out there, and I can just hear him saying, Lord, how am I gonna water up? Just think of the amount of water that it would take for 2 million Jews. And God says, Moses, see that rock. I can hear Moses saying, boy, Lord, I would have never thought of that. I'm glad you pointed that rock because I would have never thought about that. I mean, is that what you would have done? Say, oh, there's a rock. We're okay. But you see, he wanted to show there's water in the impossible. Who's ever heard of getting water out of a rock? It's unheard of. But with God, it's normal, isn't it? And then I think of what he said in John 2. Remember, they're at a wedding. And they're in a predicament. They're out of wine. Now, wine in Scripture is a picture of joy. And they were out of joy. And so, here's the command. Fill the water pots. You know what? If they would have filled 1,000 water pots, they would have had 1,000 water pots full of wine. But they probably only filled enough for the wedding. Shame on them. But you know what he can do? He can take water and he can turn it into wine. He can take any situation and turn it into joy. I think of John 4. Here's a woman at the well. He says, give me to drink. She says, you know, this is unusual. Normally Jews don't speak to Samaritans. He says, well, he said, this is unusual. He said, if you knew who I was, you would be asking me for water. She says, I can tell you're a stranger around here. You don't know how deep that well is. I know exactly where he was sitting. When you go through Samaria to this day, there's a very deep well. We've been there. It's a very deep well. And she said, there's no way. You couldn't draw water out. He said, listen, if you knew who you were talking to, I can give you water and you'll never thirst again. Oh, listen. He was a master at it. And by the time he's done, you know what she says? Give me to drink. And later in the chapter, you know what? It says she left her water pot. And she went back into the city. She had living water, didn't she? I like the story in John chapter 7, verse 37. On the day of the feast. Remember, we thought about it last Lord's Day. On the day of the feast, every time at this Feast of Tabernacles, the priest would go and he would have one goblet and he would dip it into the Pool of Siloam and he would bring that goblet. He would have another goblet full of wine. And he would go to the place on the Temple Mount and there would be troughs where when they slaughtered the animals, the blood would flow down these troughs. And the priest would pour the wine and the water together. And frankly, if you go to Calvary, and I don't have time to go into this, but you study it on your own. Remember when they pierced his side, what came out? Yeah, I'll tell you, there's a great picture there. The Feast of Tabernacles, they pour them together. And in that trough, wine and water go out the trough. And they do that for 7 days. And then on the last day, it's called the great day of the feast, every priest comes to the Pool of Siloam. They bring a barrel of water. And as they pour that water, because this feast is to remind them that God brought them out of the wilderness and provided water the entire way and brought them into the new land and gave them wells of water. He provided water every step of the way. And they have a feast, and to this day, they still celebrate this feast. Of the 7 feasts, 3 are still celebrated. This one is still celebrated. That's how important water is to Israel. And on that last day, every male got down on their knees. And when they poured that trough full of water, they would take a handful of that water and they would drink it. And the scripture says in John 7:37 that Christ stood up and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Can you imagine I mean, you talk about looking around saying, what has gone wrong with him? But remember, his brother said, make yourself known. How did he make himself known first? It was by saying, I'm the living water. And I could go on. Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that thirsts, come unto me. Revelation 3:20, behold, I knock, and I will come in and sup with you. And then Revelation 7, he says, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst again. And this very one is the one that went to the cross. And you know what he says? I thirst. I thirst. I'll tell you, I thank God for that statement. 100% man, because God doesn't thirst, and 100% God, because there on the cross, when he died, and when he was thirsty, he made it so that I'll never need to drink in heaven. What a God. What a Savior. What a seven great utterances from the cross. And everyone reveals the character of God. We see his spiritual anguish. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We see his physical anguish. I thirst. It wasn't just for a glass of water, was it? It talked about creation all the way to Revelation. That statement did. And now, the last two that we have, they're statements of triumph. Oh, I can hardly wait. Wish I could preach them now, but I better stop. Father, we thank you today for Jesus Christ. We thank you that knowing all, he would say, I thirst. And Father, we love him. We thank you for him. And Father, we confess that we fail him so often. We serve him so poorly. But Father, what a great God he is. How he is worth serving. How he is worth singing about. And Father, this day, may we find our thoughts turning to him. One who died for us. One who paid our full debt. Not part of it, but Father, he paid it all. What a great Savior he is. And so Father, we thank you today for these words from the cross. May they become food for our thoughts. And may we share with others the great news that Christ not only died, but he rose again and invites all today to enter into the victory that he has secured. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.